Good afternoon, guys. This is Dr. Bones on a very special Monday instead of our normal New Music Saturday NMS. We have a very special guest tonight, and I'm still kind of nervous and so excited because this is huge for me. So welcome to the show, Richard Patrick, a.k.a. Filter.
It's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
I'm so happy to have you on the show because I grew up on you guys in the 90s. The grunge and the whole thing, that was my era right there. So when I saw a new album and I got the email from the PR, I was like, no way, this is amazing. So let me start off by saying I've listened to the album many, many times, and man, I'm loving every minute of it. And my first question would be, is just because the arrangement of the songs and just the flow of it, it's just mind-blowing, because to me this is such an amazing conceptual album. Mm-hmm. Because of all the different influences on it. And I have to ask, just starting off with the first song, The Drowning. Now, is that that following the other songs, was there an underlying kind of theme behind it, or is this more kind of personal-wise, lyrically, like something you've gone through? Or
no, there's a friend of mine who is literally drowning in alcohol. He cannot stop drinking, and it is awful to watch. And I gave up alcohol like 20 years ago. I haven't had a drop to drink in 20 years because I was a raging alcoholic. And this, you know, the sad truth about alcoholism is only about 3 out of 100 people make it, you know, and, 96% of people who are dealing with alcoholism, they end up dying. 96%.
Right.
Of dying of alcoholism. And it's just awful to watch. And so The Drowning starts off on a happy high note. But no, it's, our records have always been really intense and filled with subject matter that people mostly wince from, you know. But I like to keep things heavy and talk about things that are real.
Well, it definitely is heavy. Definitely, 100% give you that. That just starting riffs to The Drowning is amazing. It's like, I can't wait to the rest of it, because, like I said, we get the Scent first obliteration, which is the first track or release single off the album, The Algorithm, which comes out August 25th via Golden Robot Records. And when I heard the first few seconds of the song, I just, like, man, it reminded me a lot of The Short Bus, like that mm-hmm. same grit and heaviness, but with a crazy twist to it. Meaning, it just sounds like you've taken a whole bunch of genres and just put them together, and just got that raw, heavy sound. Because in some of the songs, it sounds like there's like possibly a little bit of EDM and even a little bit mm-hmm. of techno. And I just I can't say enough good things about the album. So, getting back to the album, is how long did this album take to make? I mean, I know they're all new songs. Was it a long process, or were you thinking about this a few years ago?
It's been 7 years since we put a record out. Crazy Eyes came out 7 years ago, which is mind-blowingly long time. And I did release two songs in between, called America and Thoughts and Prayers, and those didn't get the recognition that I think they deserved. It might have been cool to put them on this record, but then there would have been so many songs on this record that, you know, a lot of times people get a brand new record and they don't hear the last half of it because they're just always getting to the first half, you know what I mean? They don't go... I challenge everybody, give this record a listen straight through. Like it'll take you on a journey.
I 100% agree. Like I said, I've listened to this many times because the whole time I was just making sure I had the notes I wanted taken from it, and it just everything else I was doing, because I mean I do that for all my stuff, but I just was paying extra close attention to this one just because this is like, since the first album really in 7 years, so I figured this would probably be something like special to it, just the fact that it had been so long. But I love the direction. I mean, I know it's pretty much raw old school filter, but man, the heaviness to it, and the it almost what we'll call the destructive guitar playing. It's just phenomenal. Like, I mean, was that what you were going for when you did the algorithm? Was to kind of get back to we'll call it the basics?
Yeah, I just wanted it to be a rambunctious, like crazy, over the top record that, like, you know, dealt with the frustration that I think most people feel, you know, about everything in their lives. The algorithm is, to speak about the title for a minute, the algorithm, everybody has an algorithm. Everybody has a problem that they, a math problem or something that they have to solve in their lives. Mine was alcoholism. Other people, maybe it's, you know, they have, you know, they're being misled politically. You know, there's so much misinformation out there online, and people are being lied to left and right, and they can't see through the lies. And you know, everybody has their own thing that they have to deal with, and that's why I like the title. That's why I'm proud of the title, The Algorithm.
Oh, it's a very good point, and you're absolutely right. And there's so much, you're right, there's so much misinformation right now. We're not going to get into that because I want to stick to the music, and plus
everybody always says, you know, don't go too political because people, you know, they'll leave you, you know, but I think most of my heroes, like Joe Strummer, John Lennon, Bono, Nivy Coger, Al Jorgensen, they've always been very super political and topical, and I've always appreciated that. So at least lyrically, I'm going to stick to that. You know, we don't have to talk about it in interviews, but lyrically, I'm laying waste. I'm spitting out lyrics, yo.
Fair enough. I can talk political, but I think people want to hear more about the music.
Yeah, no, believe me, I'm with you. I want to talk about the music.
But from like Filter's first conception, and forgive me, but I have to ask about this. How was it having like your first gig being a touring guitarist with Nine Inch Nails?
Oh, the first show actually, or well, do you mean the reunion?
Just the reunion, really.
The reunion was probably a highlight of my life. It was absolutely just an amazing experience. Trent was so happy to put us all back on stage. And he gave me a lot of songs to sing, and I came out there and I was so emotionally blown away by the response by the audience that I was crying in the middle of Eraser, and could barely even get the words out. And then I ended up screaming, and that felt good. And but then we did like Wish and Sin and Gave Up, and
nice.
Then we did Hey Man, Nice Shot. Trent literally had Nine Inch Nails learn Hey Man, Nice Shot.
We did
Hey Man, Nice Shot, which is my song. It's a Filter song,
right?
And for those listeners who do not know that, and then he's like, hey, to cap it all off, why don't you sing the second verse in Head Like a Hole? And it was so amazing to sing such an iconic song. Trent was just so generous and so sweet, and I love him. He's probably one of my best friends from my whole life, you know what I mean? Like, I've known him since I was 15, you know, right. What I mean? And you know, you cherish those friendships when you're young, you know what I mean, from your youth. And I just had a fantastic time, and it was amazing. And I can't be more proud of what he's done with his life and Nine Inch Nails. And, you know, he's a sober cat too. And
yep.
I was very inspired by that when I was getting sober. And, you know, and he's just a great guy, and I love him to death. And I'm so honored that he had me back, and we played, and I'm eternally grateful.
Right. Well, I'll keep off that. I just wanted to ask about that real quick. I mean,
it's great. It was an absolute highlight, and it's definitely great to talk about.
Right on. Well, man, right on, just a Canadian habit. So, But with the new album, I know obviously you guys have a bunch of tour dates set up. Now, is this album going to be easily transferable to stage? I mean, without too much issue?
Yeah, we're playing the shit out of it. We're nice. Already we know four songs from the new album that we've been playing this whole time, except for like when we do support shows or right. or festivals, we can't put in the drowning. Like we play the drowning is the first song of the night when we do our headlining shows at clubs.
Right.
And yeah, we play four songs off the new record, and I'm sure we're gonna have to learn more because the fans are eating it up. They're really into this album, and like they're singing along to it, and they're singing to Face Down and, nice. And Obliteration, and it's awesome. It's really good, and yeah, I it's translating really well. It's really well nice. Translating.
Well, and nice because there's about just a little. 2 weeks and 4 days, so guys, you don't want to wait too much longer, and I hope you already pre-saved it, and you know where to pre-save it, Spotify, Apple Music, all the fun streaming apps, and guys, it's something else, let me tell you. What do you think, or what should not, what do you think, what was the longest part about making this album, like what took the most time?
Well, I have a side hustle, which is doing movie scores, and
nice.
The side hustle took precedent because I have to, you know, when you're given a movie score to do, you've got a deadline and you right. have to like focus on it. And directors and producers really, they deserve that. So I have to kind of put filter on the back burner while I do those movies. And that was primarily the reason why it took so long to get it done.
Now, just talking about that with the movie scores, I gotta imagine that had to have been a lot of fun because it's something completely different, and just the organization has got to be just different, because I can't imagine going from, let's say, 3-4 timing to something that's just kind of the beats are up, down, all around sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's you're given a movie and you have to score and enhance the movie and make it move and give it pacing and accentuate all the different levels of emotion that a movie offers, and you have to really pay attention to what the director's saying, and you have to pay attention to what the producers want and everything like that, and you read the script and you make sure you really like it, and you make sure you get what the script is saying, and it's a totally different world. It's a completely different world, but it's a lot of fun, and I enjoy it quite a bit.
I'd imagine it's a bit of a nice break too, eh?
Yeah, it is. You drift off into a world of cinema, and I was working on The Chariot, and there's this big monologue with Malkovich doing all this talking, and I'm like putting the music onto it, and I'm just sitting there and I'm thinking, wow, me and John Malkovich are working together. You know what I mean? Like we're literally kind of working as a team here to get this scene just right. And you kind of tap yourself on the back and go like, remember right. this, remember this moment. You're literally kind of rubbing elbows with some pretty amazing people.
Now, going from that back to doing filter stuff, was it kind of seamless? Meaning, do you have to maybe kind of change the way you were thinking just because the organization is just a little bit different? And
well, when you're working on a movie score, you're adherent to what the director wants, what the producers want, what the movie needs.
Right.
But with filter, it's no holds barred. Like it is absolute freedom. I can do whatever I want. I've always been criticized for being, so experimental. Like, I did Hey Man, Nice Shot, and then 2 years later I released Take a Picture, and people are like, is that even the same band?
But
I don't care. I fall, my genre of music is modern rock. That's the way I put it. Like, is it industrial? I don't know. Is it new metal? I don't know. Is it alternative? Who knows? It's modern rock, as far as I'm concerned. It's a pretty big, vague term. And filter is my exhaust port for all my creative ideas, and I get to do whatever I want, and I love it. It's total freedom.
Right on. Well, I mean, it just was a curiosity for me because, like I said, obviously two completely different settings. So I was wondering how you, the transition was to going to go back. Even though I know we never really stopped doing it, but just kind of going, focusing on this and going, okay, let's do this and let's rock.
Yeah, exactly. One minute you're doing a movie, the next minute you're, you know, playing guitar, you know, and making sure it's slightly out of tune just to be annoying.
I have some buddies that would drive them nuts. But okay, so after but when you kind of finished up doing the movie score and started working this album, did you already have any songs done, or were they just like being started when you finished the score?
They were, you know, and for all songs that I work on, they're not done until like the day I master it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like when I call up Bob, who's the guy that mastered our record? Quick, look that up. Bob Ludwig. I think it's Bob. No, it's not Bob. It's Howie Weinberg. Howie Weinberg masters all our records. I don't know why I thought of Bob Ludwig. But the songs are never done until that stage. And so, like, if I had, like, for instance, to do the drums on the record, I saved all the songs up, and then at the last minute, I hired Elias Mullen, my touring drummer. I said, come on in and record all the drums on the record, and we'll do it in 2 days at Stag Street with Brian Virtue. And then we did all the drums, and then so like all those songs are continuously being worked on until the drums are done. And then once the drums are done, then it has to be mixed, and you know, there's, or maybe we'll add guitar, or maybe we'll add a couple overdubs that we were thinking about, or we'll redo the guitar. So all the songs are being worked on as like a whole, like the whole time, you know.
Okay.
What I mean, until the very last mix. And when it's finally mixed, then we master it, and that's the final creative stage in recording, is the mastering. So,
well, you definitely answered part of another question I was going to ask you about it.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask you, you explained partially about how you kind of put songs together, but is there any specific thing that comes first, meaning do lyrics come first, or does guitar come first?
For me, it's always the music. For me, it could even be as like for Face Down, it was the bass line. Like,
okay.
The bass line dictated, and I was literally, once I got the bass line, I grabbed the mic and I started singing. And once you start singing, that's like kind of the end, like you're done. And then I just sat there and put in overdubs and did a lot of crazy stuff, and then had the song ready to go. And then I asked Johnny Radke if he'd do some guitar playing on it, and sure enough, Johnny came in with a whole bunch of new guitar ideas that completely transformed the song in a great way. And it's the band and everybody in Filter really worries about the final song as like,
right,
what is this song trying to do? What is this song trying to say? And each member is extremely, you know, like, for instance, there wasn't a bass part needed, so my bass player was just like, hey, no problem, I'll sit this one out. You know what I mean? Like, everybody is trying to make it the best it can be, and sometimes, you know, they don't, that means, well, maybe I'll just kind of wait this one out, I won't do anything on this. And you know, it's just amazing the teamwork that goes along with that, you know.
I just about to say, you guys really work as a team, and that's always a good thing. Now, but when it comes to mastering, when you're finally kind of making it the song that you want, is there anything that's kind of frustrating about it, or do you find yourself stopping a bunch of times saying, nah, let's up a level here, we'll put this in here, maybe switch this out?
There's always that kind of stuff when you're doing the final mix. There's always like, hey, maybe we could just mute this guitar part, or hey, maybe we could, there's always that kind of stuff that can happen, but it's never frustrating. At this stage of the game, on my eighth record, like, we really kind of know what we're doing. Like,
yeah.
The process has become very easy, and and we can handle anything that happens with it.
Well, I know over the years you've had a few lineup changes. Now, how long has this lineup been together with you?
This lineup has been together for like 10 years.
Nice, okay.
Johnny Radke's been in the band for like 10 years. Elias Mullen played his first gig 10 years ago. But we have had different variations. For instance, 7 years ago, Johnny took a hiatus and we had Umi Capello kind of come out and play when he toured with the Crazy Eyes tour that we did. Because Umi was a very big part of the Crazy Eyes record, which was great. But we've all been together for easily 10 or 15 years, like within that, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Johnny came up, he's been a part of it since. I mean, he wrote a record with me called The Sun Comes Out Tonight. And that was is just as much Johnny's record as it was Filter's record, you know, my record. And,
right.
So, yeah, there's everybody's welcome to kind of come and go as they please, you know, because, you know, I want them to go off and experience as much of their lives as they can. And
right. So
sometimes I'll work with other people just because if Johnny needs to take a hiatus, he can, you know, and he can work with other people, and, you know, that all that stuff's kind of, you know, obviously it has to be okay, you know.
Right. Absolutely. No, I mean, it's always, well, that's a good thing, but it sounds like you guys have an amazing chemistry, which obviously means the world, especially when you're putting out this kind of music, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's kind of like, I mean, like, for instance, when I worked with Zach Monowitz on the three songs, Up Against the Wall, For the Beaten, and Say It Again, you know, Johnny was not inhibited by that, like he wasn't hurt by that. He was like, hey, that's great, maybe I'll play a guitar solo here, or maybe I'll add an overdub here or whatever. He's completely okay with himself to have me work with other people that I feel inspired to work with. So, you know, it just shows how like mature everybody's become.
Right. And well, it's nice to have that freedom too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So one other question I wanted to ask you, kind of just going back a little bit, is in 2006 when you did Army of No One with the Dillo Brothers.
And, Army of Anyone.
Army of Anyone. My apologies. Excuse me.
Sorry. Sorry.
Army of Anyone with the Dillo Brothers and Rich Kaiser from Korn.
Ray Luzier from
Ray Luzier. Ray, I'm sorry. I'm still a little nervous, so I just kind of glanced my notes real quick. So
it's okay.
But either way, how was that? I mean, what gave you the idea to put that together?
Well, that was just, you know, we were experimenting songwriting back in 2004, and I had kind of done, you know, I did three Filter records, and I kind of needed to take a hiatus from Filter.
Right.
Wasn't really sure what I wanted to do with it, and got together with the DeLeo brothers. And we wrote a few songs together, and it was just like, hey, let's just do a band real quick. Let's just be a band. Let's do a record, put it out, see what happens. And it was great. The record, people still talk about that record as being one of their favorites. And Ray Luzier was an amazing discovery for us both when we worked with him. He had been David Lee Roth's drummer, but he was looking for something new as well. And but we did Army of Anyone, and it was really fun. And then we kind of went on tour and had fun with that. And as soon as it got to a point where it was like, hey, is this cool? Is this fun anymore? Or should we go back to our perspective, you know, money makers?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I went back to Filter, and they went back to STP and called up Scott Weiland, and he was in Velvet Revolver.
Right.
And Scott Weiland went back to Stone Temple Pilots, and they had a great, big, huge, successful reunion, and they did a lot of work. They toured quite extensively, and it was a good time for Scott. And so yeah, you know, you just, I mean, I'm gonna do another record too. I've got another record with this friend of mine from Jim Laveau from a band called There Is No Us. It's called A Place to Kill, and we're going to put that out next year just for the fun of it, just because I love making music, and it's kind of the music that we do is industrial trap metal, and I think it's really fun and cool, and I why not put a record out and just have fun with it, you know?
Absolutely. Now, is there anyone on, I'm not even sure, do you have like a collaboration list of people you'd like to potentially collab with, or just kind of, I'm inspired by you, so let's jam?
I'm already collaborating with Horror, I'm collaborating with Health, and I'm collaborating with Snakes of Russia. So keep an eye out for those records, as well as a EDM artist named Julian Gray.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool, right on.
So there's a lot of music that I've got coming out in the next year for sure.
That's awesome. Well, I can't wait for this one to come out so everybody can have a listen to it, so we can talk about it a little bit more with people who've listened to the album. So, but with the arrangement of the, I mean, with this album in particular, I mean, the arrangement of songs is just, like I said a little bit earlier, that the flow is unbelievably seamless. Now, when the songs were being mastered and you're making the final,
the sequence.
Because I was just curious, just because you're right. The sequence of this is just something incredible. Now, did that take a lot of time, or the songs were just kind of seemed to easily flow together?
No, I kind of played with the idea. I moved stuff around. I had a session of Logic open, and then I just put the MP3s I put the WAV files in a row, and I just kind of played around with the different order, and I would live with it, and I would put it in order, and I would send it to my bandmates and say, what do you think of the order of this? And like, some of them would respond and some of them wouldn't, you know, because they were so like, wow, you got to think of it as an entire concept, you know, like a whole album, and you have to listen to it from start to finish to really get a vibe. And but I always sequence the records when I have a chance. Like, I always make sure that I do it, and I love sequencing the records. It's probably one of my most funnest jobs is when you take 11 songs and you move them around until it looks like, okay, this is a cohesive message.
Right.
This makes sense to me. And so it's a labor of love. I love doing it. But yeah, it's the record ends, the concept of the record is that there's an astronaut, and he comes back from space to Earth to find Earth completely destroyed. And there's only a few people left. And like, one of the people he discovers, or one of the people is the little girl from the video, and she's in Los Angeles, and she escapes with her cat. You know, that's the obliteration video.
Right.
And then, like, there's going to be another video that I can't really talk about. Yeah, but it's there's another young person who's kind of dealing with the fact that the Earth has been destroyed, and the astronaut actually helps her and finds her. And it's just a great, it's a lot of fun creating, you know, things for the algorithm, whether it's videos or songs or whatever. It's fantastic. It's a lot of fun.
I'm glad you mentioned that, just because the sequence and kind of drop, kind of taper off the end, it just absolute gold, because from the heaviness to, you know, we'll call it smoothing out to literally
a guy saying, that's why I want to be high as a motherfucker. It's just a perfect way to end the record. I love it.
Yeah, I did really enjoy that part of it. So we are speaking of, because we just spoke about Obliteration, well, you did about a moment ago. So we're going to take a quick little break. We're going to listen to Obliteration, then we'll be back with Richard Patrick, Filter. Dig this. Filter, Obliteration.
Watching the world go, no matter. circle the drain. Now that's all that's left of me. Sink my teeth in the pain, watching the world go numb. Just one step from obliteration.
Filter with Obliteration is off his new album, comes out August 25th, called The Algorithm. Be sure to check it out and pre-save it now. Richard, we played this song a few times already, and this is such a badass song. I say from the first note, it just fucking raw energy and just boom, like right in your face. And absolutely, part of my life, but I fucking love it. Like, I just
thank
like,
you, I appreciate it.
And I just I love the words too, because I'm people will take them whichever way they want, but it's almost a good point, like, you know, circling the drain, kind of literally watching the world just go boom in front of you, right? I mean, in my opinion, there's such like powerful, hard hearing lyrics, and I really appreciate those, like, big time.
Thank you, I appreciate that. It means a lot.
Because I mean, it just means so much. Like I said, most people take it however they want it. Maybe not how you conceptualize it, but you know, that's part of the fun of being a fan and listening to music, is kind of coming up with your own idea. Not that we'd want to step on the music's toes and say, well, no, it's got to be this way. Nothing like that. But it just, when you really sit back and take a listen, I can get so much out of it. And this album, that specific course of Obliteration, just kind of like, man, it just, that makes so much sense. And you can use someone in everyday life that, you know, like, that, no, there's a lot of shit going down right now, and it's gonna be hard to change, but just kind of keep your head up the best you can, you know?
Just, you know, the whole thing is try not to believe everything you see. if it smells like shit and it looks like shit, then it's bullshit, you know? Like, just understand that, disinformation's out there, and it's the culprit for sure. Yeah.
So I really like the song. It was a good single to start off with, and we played it like a few times already since we got it sent to us, and it's gotten a lot of good reviews because we post mainly on Twitter, and maybe the first couple of comments. New filter? Are you serious?
That's great.
Like a couple of them were like those exact words. This is a new filter? Are you serious? Like, yeah.
That's
like,
killer. That's great.
So it's picking up steam. And of course, I've been mentioning to a lot of people, obviously posting on media about this interview, and telling my friends, like, say, well, guess what? No, like I'm going to get a chance to interview Richard Patrick from Filter. Like, you're serious? Like, yeah. It's like, no. It's like, yeah, let me show you the email.
That's awesome.
Because I was so pumped, and I'm excited, like, in the nurse. I'm kind of eased into it, so I'm a little more comfortable now, but I'm not going to lie. Like, before you got on, like, my heart was beating a mile a minute. I was so pumped. So excited, because this means so much
to me.
That's
awesome. Well, you've done a fantastic job. I appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate you coming on. And like I said, the fact that I'm talking to guys in music I listened to in high school at the grunge phase when they were first out, it just to me, this is mind-blowing. I never thought I'd get an opportunity like this ever, so
thank you.
I like I said again, I'm very, very grateful for this
well,
means
you're doing
a great job
and I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. excuse me. So back to music with this album. Guys, like I said, we talked about, you got a little bit tour going on, but you also I think you guys are opening up for Freaks on Parade tour with Alice.
That's
Cooper.
That's pronounced Freaks on Parade.
Nice.
You gotta say it with that much oomph. But yeah, no, it's Rob Zombie, Alice Cooper, Ministry.
That's awesome.
Filter. So it's like a really, really packed tour, and we're going to have a lot of fun, and we're going to play like the best 30 minutes of our lives.
That's going to be amazing.
Night. And yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, and really looking forward to it. And yeah.
You know what? I've actually seen each of those artists individually
in
different times. So, and just
well, now you get to see us all together on one big stage. So it's pretty cool.
That's awesome. But yeah, I saw that and was reading the quick write up on the email. I was like, no, it's amazing. He's got to be pumped for that. I mean, it's because it's such an eclectic mix of music, literally. So,
it's very industrial this time.
So
Al and I are bringing the industrials.
Awesome! Like,
it's gonna be a lot of fun.
Big fan of Ministry. I'll never forget the first time I heard Psalm 69.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the
heck? I told Al, the Land of Rape and Honey literally changed the trajectory of my life completely.
Oh,
Land,
really? Nice.
Land of Rape and Honey was like, oh my God, I now know that I'm industrial till the day I die. Like, you know. And so when I was in Nine Inch Nails, that's why Trent was always like, he listed me as like an influence, but the influence was really from Al Jorgensen, in my opinion, for me.
That's awesome.
And Skinny Puppy as well.
That's cool, man. I couldn't even imagine being around such good musicians and just being able to kind of, well, for lack of a better word, shoot the shit, you know?
Yeah, no, we're going to have a lot of fun on this tour. It's going to be a lot of laughing and a lot of good times.
Anything special planned that you're allowed to talk about or no?
No, well, I'm sure something crazy is going to happen. Okay. Sure, there's... You know, but thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, not a problem. This has been a lot of fun, and like I said, I do appreciate you coming on the show and talking about the new album, which, guys, August 25th. And the algorithm is like, to me, one of the best albums I've heard in a very, very long time. And just like, is it just the raw energy and power of this album is just insane. I love listening to it, and start to finish, you have to. There's no way around it. You have to.
You have to listen to it straight through. Just give me that one chance. Just give me that one chance before you move on into listening to something else, before Spotify suggests something else from its algorithm. give me the one chance of having everybody hear it in its order, you know, and from start to finish.
And the one thing
that's I'm asking from your audience, man. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. You know what? I might be able to come see you in Detroit September 5th because it's a 2-hour drive. Because they got Richard playing a show that I think is at DT Energy Center, like outside, like the pavilion. I'm pretty sure they saw you guys got a show September 5th.
Yeah.
In Michigan.
I'd have to look at the schedule.
I can double check, but it's a show in Michigan. The thing is, I got family in Michigan, and it's a 2-hour drive, so...
Get out there and see it!
Yeah, that's what I'm planning on.
Awesome.
But again, Richard, thank you very, very, very much. This was amazing. I really, really appreciate it. You've made my whole year, and just like it's just nice to talk to one of my music heroes growing up, you know?
Thank you.
Face-to-face, just like... To me, this is absolutely mind-blowing. So thank you so much for your time. I really do appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you for having me, and thank you for being such a good fan, and I appreciate it. We're friends now, so you can come to that show, and we'll hang out backstage.
Right on.
Yeah.
Well, I hope to see you there, and thanks again, Richard. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Awesome.
So, guys, this has been Dr. Bones having an awesome interview, which we're wrapping up right now with Richard Patrick, who is Filter. We'll talk to you soon. Until then, Bones out.
Bones out, baby. We'll talk in a bit.
All right. Thank you, Richard. Appreciate it.
You got it, brother. We'll talk in a bit.
All right.
Okay. See you soon.
See ya.